Cafe and Catering. Breakfast all day, opening at 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
weekends.
It's located on 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Dinner was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, a rib and a sandwich counter with a patio seating located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue. For more information on how you can support KVU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or pdexpendables.com.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. Today, a one-hour membership drive edition for Black History Month. We're focusing on three Portland productions about or by strong women. First off, we'll visit with three actors from In the Blood by Pulitzer Prize-winning African-American playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. It's being produced by Portland Actors Conservatory. Then we'll meet Maisha McQueen, starring as the famed singer-actress Ethel Waters in His Eye is on the Sparrow at Portland Center Stage. And in the final part of the one-hour special, Shalonda Sims updates us on her yearly Black History Month original stage production of Who Am I Celebrating Me? Or Who I Am Celebrating Me at Concordia College. We'll have tickets for all of these shows available for your KBOO membership, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the studio are actors Monica Fleetwood. Welcome.
Hello.
And with her are Jacob Beaver. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. And also Tahira Cozier.
Hi.
Did I say your name right?
Tahira.
Yep. Tahira. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you're all from Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks. I want to welcome you all to this membership edition of Stage and Studio. How was opening weekend? You opened this weekend. What was it like for you? Anybody want to jump in there?
Personally, I thought it was really exciting. It went fairly well. All of the audiences were very engaging. Because it's kind of a heavy play. So when you get met with unexpected laughs here and there, or you have an occasional gasp or intake of surprise, it's really nice to hear the audience, because we've been in this process where it's just been us and a director and a couple of faculty members. So it's cool to get that different type of energy, and you can see with the unexpected laughter or gasp or something like that, you can really like tell the humanity of the play just by being in it. So it's really cool to see that and have that different dynamic now that we're open.
That's wonderful. There were a lot of Facebook comments in the positive about the show and how wonderful it was. So I'm glad you had a great experience with it. So Suzanne Laurie Parks is a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, and she's the first African-American woman to win that award. And her best known play is Top Dog Underdog, about two African-American brothers named Lincoln and Booth. In the Blood is loosely based on The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And Monica, you play the main character, Hester, and she is a homeless single mom of five children. You want to tell us more about your character?
So, yes, Hester is homeless. However, she is a very optimistic and imaginative, engaging. She has five children. She every day wakes up and, you know, go through the monotonous things of life that we all do. However, her circumstances aren't fortunate. And so she cleans the house. She takes care of her kids. She makes sure they go to school. She's creative. She tells these fairy tales to engage them and keep their optimism up as much as hers. She just finds herself in the unfortunate situation of where she doesn't have people to support her as much as society would have us believe in real life. And so that is what the play focuses on, is that you have these five people that are in her life that are supposed to be there to uplift her and help her out, and then you find out they are doing more harm than good. But she is a beautiful, overwhelmingly positive, optimistic, sincere, caring, vulnerable, emotional person. She is, I mean, she's amazing. She's a blessing to be playing.
You seem like you have a lot of admiration for Hester.
I do.
Just in how you're talking about her.
Yeah, I do. I will just share briefly. At first, I was very hesitant to play a character as Hester, because it just goes like, you know, dang, we're just down in a duck again, and we can't seem to get up, and it's always something. But then you get these roles that are very, gosh, just gritty and just really have to push you, and it just makes you grow as a human being and as an artist, and I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. So I, like I said, I was very blessed to have this situation happen for
that's
me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's wonderful to hear that. Let's talk about your characters. So Tahera,
mm-hmm.
Tahera, would you tell us about your character?
Sure. So the interesting thing about this play is that Hester has five children, and then at each point we all double as these adults. And the thing about these adults is that they are, whereas she has all the optimism in the world, these like characters, which are pretty much villains, are breaking that down in a way. And each character has like a different aspect of society, I guess, that is oppressing her in a way. So I am her caseworker. So I play like this intimidating person who's just trying to like keep her under her thumb. And instead of actually doing my job as a caseworker, I'm kind of like counteracting that. And that it's just, it's a really heavy subject, but it's just like, yeah, you just have this villain that's just trying to keep her down, and within a system that's already just not that encouraging. It's not a supportive system to begin with. So it's like you have this person who too is also a black woman that is keeping down this other black woman when she's supposed to be raising her up, because that is actually her job. She's paid to do that. And you're just not seeing that there.
Sounds very powerful too, to have this interaction with each other.
You know?
So Jacob, I guess you play a couple characters too.
Yeah. I double as Reverend D and Hester's infant child baby.
Well, that's kind of a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been a difficult ride for sure. Being baby has been really fun, because the difficulty of Reverend D and diving into his particular character is such a polar opposite than who I am as an individual.
Right.
So I've been kind of finding solace in baby and the simplicity and the free abandonment that is just being a child. I mean, come on, I get to crush cans for a while. That's a good time. So.
So is that some of the comic relief there a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of a nice window into the family life of Hester and her kids and how she takes care of them and, you know, being able not only in teaching them the ways of the world and helping with things around the house and crushing cans is a way that they make money. And so makes it fun for baby to do that. So.
Well, it seems like in describing sort of the style of the play, would you say it's kind of a classic kind of a play? I mean, since it's based on the Scarlet Letter, but modernized, how would you describe the style of the play of In the Blood?
Mm. I think you kind of hit it. I mean, it's classical in a sense of like it's classical in a sense of I think it's timeless. I mean, the play is set. Susan Laurie Parks wrote it in the here and now. And so whether that's here and now 50 years ago, whether that's going to be here and now 50 years from now. I would probably say like contemporary realism probably would be the best way.
All right. It sounds like an intriguing play. And Monica, I understand you have a monologue, but we're going to go to a break pretty soon. So I want to tease people that you're going to be performing right after this pitch break. We're going to continue this conversation. But a reminder that we're talking with about Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks. And it's directed by Victor Mack. All performances run through February 26th at the Portland Actors Conservatory's Firehouse Theater. That's located at 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. More info and tickets available at PAC, that's PAC.edu. And we have a couple pairs of tickets to offer for memberships by calling 1-877-500-5266 or go right now to kboo.fm. Let's check in with Membership Central.
Hey there. And you do have tickets available. We can hook you up right now. Minimum pledge $75 gets you a pair of tickets to In the Blood. It sounds like a terrific show. It's going to be a wonderful time, and you get to support your favorite radio station. What a deal. 877-500-5266, or if you're online, just point your browser to kboo.fm and boom, there you go. What you got for me, Sam?
Well, I've got a few names of folks who have invited us to, well, I'd sure like to mention, I'd like to thank some people who used kboo.fm/give, used that safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form to divert some of their wealth away from the war machine of U.S. imperialism by investing it in their community. Yes, via community media. That's Nathan in North Portland. That's Dee in Oregon City. Christy in Southeast. John in Northeast. Daria in Northeast. Ira in West Lynn. That's right. Getting the outlying counties. Rick in Southeast. Oh, here's one of our other really far out listeners, Susan in Placerville, California. Thank you so much, all of you. Thank you. These are the folks who have used, however they're listening. They might be listening at kboo.fm/listen, or they might be at 90.7 FM. Whatever it is, they used kboo.fm/give to make their fully tax deductible 501c3 type. It's what the IRS calls charity, but we charitable contribution. But we know better, don't we, folks? This is not charity. This is solidarity. This is an investment in your community, and it's time for you to step up and join with Nathan, D, Christy, John, Daria, Ira, Rick, and Susan, and join with them in the KBOO Foundation, in the KBOO family. Let us enter your name into the good book of KBOO. It's up to you to make that happen. 877-500-5266. It's up to DMA to make Stage and Studio happen. It's up to you to make sure it has a place on the FM dial to get to your friends and neighbors. 877-500-5266.
And remember, folks, it's just a pledge of $75 for a pair of tickets to this fantastic, fantastic show. And pick up the phone, make that call.
And I'm DeMay Roberts, Stage and Studio. And I do want to urge people to pick up these tickets. It's a great value. And it's also important that, you know, that you recognize that KBOO does socially relevant arts coverage here. And that's what I strive for at Stage and Studio. I'm DeMay Roberts, and I'm with my guests, Monica Fleetwood, Jacob Beaver, and Tahera Cozier, all from Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. And the main character
is Hester La Negrita. Is that correct?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, a homeless single mother of five who dreams of finding beauty and love for her family despite her poverty-stricken life. And Monica, you have a short little preview for us right
yes,
now,
I,
a little performance.
I do.
Okay. And can you set it up for us, like what part of the play this
yes,
is?
Yes, this is it's the second act towards the middle, and Hester has just went to see Reverend D for the second time, and she's very hopeful that he's going to help her out financially and support her, and also kind of romantically and emotionally. And so at this point, he's trying to leave, and she's discussing these moments of seeing these visions, and so that's where we're at. And when this monologue begins.
And this is from In the Blood.
I was crossing the street with
Why
the kids.
Should I feel disgust?
I'm sorry about that. Let's start again. Monica's going to be performing live from In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks.
I was crossing the street with the kids. We had a walk sign. White is walk, red is don't walk. I know white from red, I ain't colorblind, right? And we was crossing, and a shadow fell over everything and started going dark. And shoot, I had to look up. They say when there's an eclipse, you're not supposed to look at it because you go blind, and all I need is to go blind, thank you. But I couldn't help myself. I stood right there in the street, and I looked up, and I ain't never seen nothing like it. I don't know what I expected to see, but it was this big dark thing blocking out the sun, like the hand of fate, with its five fingers coming down on me. And the trumpet started blaring, and there's Jess Jabber saying, come on, mommy, come on. And these trumpets are taxi cabs wanting to run me over and get out the road.
It. Beautifully done. It is such poetic writing.
Yeah,
it really is. And it does remind me of classical style. I didn't want to say Greek tragedy, but it almost is, isn't it?
No, it absolutely is. Victor Magbert definitely had a vision of a very classical, timeless image. And we actually had a Bob from Oregon Arts Watch described it as a mix with The Scarlet Letter by however Medea too, from the Greek tragedy, and it absolutely is a tragedy.
It does remind me of Medea.
Yeah, it absolutely
in many ways. but that was beautifully done.
Thank
How
you.
Was it to work with Victor Mack? Because he is, you know, a great actor and director, and he's been around in the Portland community for decades now. So what were your experiences working with him?
You're a good man. He was really great to work with. Very strong individual who really pulled a lot out of us. Who, you know, when we thought we didn't have any more to give, he pulled out an extra 120% from us.
He pushed you.
Yeah. And so he's very inspirational in that way. You know, he gets behind the work and stands strong with what he believes. And so being able to work with that was very inspirational in that way.
Well, so you mentioned having discussions. How socially relevant is it to these times now, this play, In the Blood? How would you say, does it compare now?
Oh, it's incredibly relevant. I mean, this play talks about, it exploits poverty. It talks about it exploits females, children, all of those things that are so currently relevant. It's something you can walk outside and kind of see. It's now changed the way I look at the world. Like, now I walk down the street and I'm like, I have no idea what this person's going through. I have no idea who's talking to this person. It's just, and like, especially some of the economic turmoil that is happening, and some of government administrations and things like that, which come up in the play, especially with the welfare character, or even the doctor character, when you're talking about somebody's medical health and their access to that and what that may look like. These are all themes and concepts that come in this play, and they just play such a big part as of telling modern day story. And especially when these two have mentioned timeless, it's something that you can do right now, and it's applicable. And then it's something that was applicable 20 years ago. It's something that's going to probably be applicable again in the next 20 years, unfortunately. But it definitely transcends itself when it comes to those concepts.
Wow, very well put. I think it really does tie into a lot of what's happening still, right? And for good or ill, that's important to bring that out in the play itself. And so I'm just wondering, you're all but Portland Conservatory actors.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you in the first year or second year?
The second year.
So you're about to graduate. How much do you say you've grown in your craft since being at Portland Actors Conservatory?
Exponentially, for me. I came from kind of a community theater background before I even tried to pursue any sort of educational theater and learn any techniques. So I feel like a night and day difference from who I was before the program and who I am now.
And how about you, Ty?
I graduated from Florida State, go Noles, and have to do a shout out or they're going to like excommunicate me. I feel like I've grown in a way where the training is a lot more intimate here, which is nice because that's what I really needed. I needed to be able to actually pick techniques that work and hone in on them, and then be able to not so much do the big and glitzy, but do the more intimate and real. And that's what I learned here at this conservatory.
And Monica?
I came from no theater background. I just kind of got into it post doing college. Anyways, so I just went down that memory lane.
I remember back in college.
Yeah, just today. I've grown exponentially. I'm on a stage for almost 90 minutes, barely.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time to be on the stage. And I didn't think I would be able to do that a year ago. And what PAC has given me is the nourishment from the teachers who are locally working actors and directors. And Victor Matt came in. And I mean, gosh, when you have people that literally support you and they see that little glimmer that sometimes people just don't get and they nourish that, I mean, you have no choice but to go up and just feed creativity. So I mean, I've always had it, but I had the support and the loving and the relationships and like the history from everybody else just pouring into me, and then that's how I'm able to do this role and love this role and see people from a different aspect.
Yeah, sounds
and
wonderful.
She's being modest because she drives the entire show. Without her, we wouldn't be any.
Well, so now it's 90 minutes like straight through is the play? 90 minutes? I love that. It's
we
it plays out like a movie.
We have a 10-minute intermission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
have a 10-minute intermission, but yeah, we're driving all the way. I mean, you have like a moment of like getting yourself together and we're back in it and we're just going all the way till the end.
Well, like I said, all the comments that I've had from people and who've been posting have just raved about this show. So don't miss it.
It's a good
In
show.
The Blood, Portland Actors Conservatory. It's a play by Pulitzer Prize winning playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. Rarely performed, I must say, and directed by the great Victor Mack. All performances run through February 26th and take place at Portland Actors Conservatory's Firehouse Theater. Great intimate space located at 1430. 36 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. Shows does have strong language and sexual content, and it's recommended for ages 15 and older. More info and tickets at pac.edu or by calling us right now at KABU at 1-877-500-5266. And we have pairs of tickets available for your membership. So I want to thank you all for coming here during our membership drive. Monica Fleetwood, Jacob Beaver, and Ty Hara, Cozy A, love your name. Thank you for dropping by during
thank
the membership
you.
Drive.
Yes, thank you.
And continue breaking legs on the rest of your
thank
run
you so
there.
Much.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Let's check in with Membership Central.
Good morning, DMA. Good morning, DMA. Good morning, listeners. We are Sam and Doug.
Yo.
Yeah, and we're here to remind you of just what it takes to keep a program like Stage and Studio happening when you tune to 90.7 FM or log on at kboo.fm. It takes you. That's right. Community radio requires community support. We heard one of the actresses talking about how important it was to receive that support and all the love of and support for her creativity to blossom. KBOO blossoms with your love and support. Why not show some of that love and support in the form of $6.25 each and every month for KBOO? You can arrange for your bank to make that remittance on your behalf. Call 877-500-5266 and ask the volunteer who takes your call to how you can make that happen. It starts with you. It starts now. 877-500-5266. You can do the same thing at kboo.fm/give. However you do it, it all works out the same. You could even come by and visit us. This is one of the last days, according to the people who keep track of these things, of our little fall spring. So take advantage. Hop on your bike, take a walk, come to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and come visit us in person. See the faces behind the voices. And I guarantee you, my friends, we do have the faces for radio. So come by and say hello, and we'll make sure you get a copy of the form you fill in. And you can, there's actually one of our other friends and neighbors supporting KBOO in a way that makes sense to him. He'll give you a discount on his pints of his own brewed, small batch, locally brewed, artisan hard cider, if that's appropriate for you. 877-500-5266. Maybe after the show you stop by and check that out. 877-500-5266, in person at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Think about that, friends. What other media outlet gives you that kind of access to its offices and studios? 877-500-5266. You avail yourself of many services on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. Do you get to choose whether you'll pay and the amount? What's that worth to you to have that kind of flexibility in how you use and how you use the services and how you compensate those who provide that service for you? Why not support it right now?
Indeed, and if you like me are someone who prefers the company of your cats, and maybe you're online most of the time, just go to our homepage at kboo.fm, click on the Donate Now button, or go directly to kboo.fm/give, and you can make your pledge. You can support community radio, keep all this wonderful cultural and information and news and public affairs and music coming to you 24/7, 365. A better deal you will not find anywhere. We just had people from the Portland Actors Conservatory Theater talking about their new production of In the Blood. For just $75, you can get a pair of tickets to this wonderful, wonderful production. Just $75. That is a great, great deal. And that's for a pair of tickets to this terrific, terrific thing. We're going to have more talking about other events and other theater coming up. I mean, it's wonderful. And this is the kind of thing you're supporting with your donations to KBOO. Again, it's 877-500-5266. Make your call of support. Make your pledge. Go online at kboo.fm. Perhaps you're listening online through TuneIn or directly through your web browser. Who knows? But whatever you're doing, the only reason we're able to be on the air is because of the support of people like you. So help keep us on the air. Make that call, make that pledge, make that donation, and make this wonderful, wonderful radio station continue. If it weren't for KBOO, you would not know about half the stuff that that's going on out there. We have so many great offerings, so many great, great programs, and all these wonderful people, and most of the people you hear on the air are volunteers. We're here because, well, It's a labor of love, and unfortunately, it's a labor of love needs your support. So again, it's 877-500-5266. Pick up your phone, dial in. Well, nobody dials a phone anymore, do they? Punch in those numbers, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm DMA Roberts, and we're back with the one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And here in the KBOO studio is Maisha McQueen. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
It's great to see you. You know, I've been seeing pictures of you because you're performing His Eye is on the Sparrow, One Woman, Just You, musical, celebrating the life of Ethel Waters, running at Portland Center Stage at the Armory through March 26th. You've been extended.
I have.
How do you feel about that?
It feels wonderful.
You gotta work longer.
A little bit longer.
A little bit longer. So welcome to Stage and Studio. Yeah, you wowed audiences in Ain't Misbehaving, which was last year, you know, yes. at Portland Center Stage, mm-hmm. and you're back to starring this one-woman show about Ethel Waters, the great singer and actress. Now, I remember her as an actor more than a singer,
right.
Like Member of the Wedding and Pinky, one of the earlier films, I guess, that dealt with mixed race. And what's your earliest memory of Ethel Waters?
Quite honestly, I had heard her name come up in the same, you know, vein as like Lena Horne and Josephine Baker. I didn't really know a lot about her, to be honest. excuse me. Probably in the last couple of years, just being more learned about African-American women who were dynamic on many, you know, fronts, television, film, recording artists, her name started to come up a little bit more. And then when I was offered this, I, of course, did my research and was like, oh, wow, how did I not know more about
exactly.
this woman?
Yeah, I mean, she went through this, which I'm sure we'll talk more about in your play, but mm-hmm. she went through such a long journey from being on the black vaudeville circuit
right.
to becoming a blues singer and then I guess a movie star, you know,
yeah.
and then recreated herself to sing gospel, you
right.
know. So there's a whole journey of her that, you know, is just very expansive. I want to play, my earliest memory was in Member of the Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to play this little clip, which is her just singing to a very young Julie Harris.
Yes.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? Away from heaven and home, for Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he, for his eye is on the sparrow.
So the title of that, His Eyes on the Sparrow, I assume you sing that song.
I do.
Show.
Yeah, I do. And it was also the name of the first autobiography, that she wrote in the song.
I didn't know she wrote an autobiography.
She has two.
Wow.
That one and another one called To Me It's Wonderful, which she wrote in her later life when she was already